Well, I'm very privileged to be here tonight. It's an honor for me to be allowed to speak to you for a few moments, if for no other reason than to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you have done for me and my family and our ministry over a long time. One of the greatest blessings in my life has been to be a part of this church. A lot of churches are doing a lot of fine works in the world. It's not just us. And they may be doing even better works than us. I don't know. But I'm here, and I'm very thankful to be here. And I'm very thankful to be a part of everything that we've done. Whatever size that might be, however small that might be or large, I don't know. And I don't think that's a judgment that any of us are qualified to make. But we are doing a good work, in my opinion, and I'm very thankful to be a part of that. And I'm a part of that because you've made it possible for me to be a part of that for many years. And I'm very, very thankful for you. For each of you who supported Terry and I for many, many years in Mexico, almost 20 years, supported us in Mexico, I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for many of you who continue to support us. You don't owe us anything. You've never owed us anything. You certainly don't owe me anything now. And yet many of you continue to send offerings to the work on the Southside Church that we're doing, and I'm very, very, very grateful for what you've done. Very thankful. So I'm just happy to be here for no other reason than to express that gratitude. Before I get to what I would like to, the comments I'd like to make tonight, I have a little list I've been composing over a while. I have a lot of lists that I work on all the time, but this is one of them. I thought I'd read to you today, go through it a little bit before I get started. So it's 10 things you should never say to an evangelist. There's a lot of things you probably should say, but here's some things you should never say to an evangelist. Now, this is coming more from my perspective. It may not mean the same to everybody, but number one is you should never say, "We have a great taco place we want to take you to." I'm sure the Polish missionaries don't think that way, but you know, when we came up from Mexico, taco heaven, we'd get here and they'd say, "Hey, we got a great taco place we want to take you to." I'm sure there's some number of fine taco establishments in Texas, but they are not good compared to the ones in Mexico. And even if they were, believe it or not, that is not what we come up to the States to eat, tacos. I'd rather go to McDonald's than go to another taco place. Here's another one, something you should never say to an evangelist. If you need anything, don't hesitate to ask. First off, they might not hesitate to ask. But it's not about whether they need something. There's a tremendous misconception about giving to evangelism, that it's about need, and many people are looking for needy evangelists to give to. That's like looking for bankrupt companies to invest in. My personal view is that if you know an evangelist who's broke, he's probably no good. That might be a bit harsh, but you ought to be looking for somebody who's doing a real good work. And if he's a multimillionaire, well, what is investment if it's not poor people loaning money to rich people? I mean, isn't that what you do when you invest in Apple? Do you invest in a company because you think they need money? You're probably going to go broke in your investment strategy. Amen. You invest in somebody who's doing something that's profitable. And whether they need anything is completely beside the point. Here's the third thing you should never say to an evangelist. If you can afford that, then you don't need my offerings. Oh, you can afford that kind of clothing, you can afford that car, you can afford that. I was an evangelist for many years. I can probably tell you they probably can't afford it. And even if they can, what business is that of yours? Fourth thing you should never say to an evangelist. Come visit us. It's too far for us to go there. Here's a little bit of math. It's actually the same distance both ways. I know some of you are scratching your head saying, "No, no, no, that can't be." Fifth thing you should never say to an evangelist. We just bought a new mattress. Would you like the old one? Our son barely wet it. I don't think you should give anybody stuff. This has been a position in our church for a long time. We have a little box and we have a little slot. And the only thing that fits in there is bills and checks. If you want to give stuff, you go to the Salvation Army or Goodwill. Too many people think that the church, and especially the evangelists of the church, are their own little private dump where they can get rid of all the junk that the city won't take. Here, I have a TV from 1990. And if I take it to the dump, they're going to charge me an extra fee for disposal. So would you take it? Here's an idea. You want to give them stuff. I don't think you should, but let's say that some of you are never going to be reformed on this point. Then at least give new stuff. Why is it you always want to buy something new for you and give someone else, give them the old?
Amen.
Why don't you give? If you think they really need a mattress, go down and buy them a new mattress.
Amen.
Now, I don't want you buying me a mattress. I'll buy my own mattress. You say, well, if I give them money, they might take it on vacation. They probably will. And what business is that of yours?
Amen. Amen.
You say, well, I think they need a new car. Well, they may think they need a dishwasher or a stove or whatever else they might think they want. How would you like it if your paycheck came and used items from your boss's house? Sixth thing you should never say to an evangelist. We want to take you out to eat. Is there anyone that can watch your kids? You have so many. What are you, Catholic? Seventh thing you should never say to an evangelist. I sure wish I could give you a new car. You don't need to give big things. Do what you can.
Amen.
Too many people that are just waiting till they hit the jackpot so they can do something for evangelism. It's kind of like investing. You may not be making much money now, but if you'll take a little bit of whatever you make and invest it, you'll have money when you're old. But if you're waiting till where you have a huge lump sum so you can go and do something powerful for the gospel, you'll end up at the end of your life and had done nothing at all. Eighth thing you should never say to an evangelist. I feel sorry for your kids that they grow up in such a place.
Amen. Yeah, that's wrong.
Actually, I kind of feel sorry for your kids who grew up with such parents.
Amen.
Ninth thing you should never say to an evangelist. You're wasting your talent down there. The only kind of people we ought to be sending anywhere is people with talent. We don't need people who can't hold down the job to be evangelists. We need people who are successful at everything they've done so they can go be successful at something else. We don't need to send people who can't preach their way out of a wet paper bag here and send them somewhere else. Well, maybe we ought to send those people somewhere else, but not to the not as evangelists. We send those to the Baptists. I'm joking. I love the Baptists. We need people with talent, and they're not wasting it.
That's right. Amen.
They're not wasting anything. Perhaps many of us are wasting our talent.
Amen.
And the last thing you should never say to an evangelist, you're too harsh. You should be more loving. First off, you don't understand what love is. You say they don't love because you don't like the way they say things or the way they phrase them. Or the tone in their voice, or the look on their face. But these are the people who gave up everything and went down to somewhere you won't even visit. And preach to people that you don't even want to get near, going to neighborhoods that you wouldn't drive through in an armored car. Now, they may not say things every way you think they should, or maybe they don't even say them the way they should. But I don't see anyone else breaking their arm trying to go down and do it. I think they're pretty loving people. I think we ought to admire and respect the love that it takes to actually do something as opposed to just saying something. So there's a little list for you of things you should never say to an evangelist. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. This has nothing to do with that. Let's look at the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We're actually going to read, we'll read from verse 1 through verse 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For many people, it's a conundrum. It's almost an impossible thing to even grasp or even fathom that they could know what God wants. We have such a hard time just knowing what someone else wants, anybody else. I've read a number of books trying to explain so I could understand what women want. I had a book I thought I'd write once, you know, because I read the book that says men are from Mars and women are from Venus. I thought I'd write a book that said men are from God and women are from men. And my wife says she had one. She'd already been thinking about writing, saying, women are from men, men are from dirt. So we just called a truce. Now, I've read a number of books that try to explain what women want, try to understand, and I finally figured it out. Well, I didn't figure out what they want. I figured out why I can't know what they want. Because they don't know what they want. If you've ever tried to figure out what your kids want, then you really know what I'm talking about. So if we don't know what our children want, we don't know what our wives want, we don't know what our husbands want, although if you really thought about it, it's probably not too difficult to figure out what he wants. If we don't know what our neighbors want, and we don't know what anyone, then we think, surely then how could we possibly know what an infinitely wise and complex God would want? So the fact that Paul would even state that he knew what God wants for many religious people is something that they can't even wrap their minds around. How could we possibly know what God wants? And then, when you finally start thinking, well, maybe we can know what God wants, the very idea that God would want anything just seems ludicrous. Yeah, isn't the very wanting of it would be the very power of it existing already? How could God, who could just will things into existence, want, will, would, anything? That anybody could know this? That God could want anything? I think of the angels when it talks about evangelism, it talks about salvation, it says how angels desire to look into these things. And I think, you know, you have this whole host of created beings who exist for one purpose only, to serve someone who doesn't want anything. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, invited someone to your house who doesn't want anything. Well, that's an exhausting experience. Would you like some ice cream? No, I'm fine. Would you like something to drink? No, I'm fine. And you know, my wife, she's extremely hospitable. And she wants to give you what you want, but we've had people visit us who don't want anything. And she just gets exasperated with them. What do you mean you don't want anything? Then what am I here for? Can you imagine being an angel wondering, what does God want? We would love to get him something he wants. What could he possibly want? And yet God does want something. You might think that God, being so infinitely complex, what he would want would be infinitely complex. And yet we find out it is incredibly simple. God wants people to be saved.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
God wants people to be saved. New evangelicism, this modern evangelistic movement that we have today and have had for some time now, has dumbed down the gospel and has turned the gospel so humanistic that now getting saved is about God giving you what you want. about God having a plan for your life. God has a plan for His kingdom. And salvation isn't about because you want it. It's about that's what He wants. And people need to get saved under the understanding that this is what God wants. And the gospel needs to be presented as this is not God trying to fulfill your desires, but this is you trying to fulfill His. And wouldn't you believe that is your sacred duty to spend your life trying to figure out what God wants? How is it that many of us have probably read more books about what our wife wants or our kid wants or what the government wants or what our job wants, and we probably have spent very little time pondering for an instant, what does God want? And we can lay a lot of that right down to the doorstep of this modern gospel movement, if you want to call it the gospel, where the church and the gospel and all of spirituality and God and everything exists for you, as opposed to you existing for Him. God wants you to be saved. Amen. If you're here today and you're not saved, this is what God wants. You say, I don't know what God wants. I want to know. You know, there's a lot of people that really do want to know. There's many people who do not. Amen. There's many people that could care less. Amen. But there are some people that want to know. Why do we go door to door, street to street? Do we think everyone that we speak to is interested? No, we learned that a long time ago. They're not. What are we looking for? We're just looking for one person that is interested, that says, I have been looking. I have been wondering. I have been afflicting myself at night on my bed wondering, what does God want? And for those of you here today, perhaps you're here today and you want to know, what does God want? I'm going to tell you what God wants. He wants you to be saved. That's what God wants. You might wonder, is it possible that God wants this? And yet, I would ask you, is it possible that He doesn't? Could there be any doubt that that is what He wants? Has He not given more than sufficient evidence that this is what He wants? Could there be any doubt as you look over the history of what God has done, all the way down to the crowning moment when He sacrificed His own Son to say, this is what I want? I would have all men to be saved. Could anybody look at that and say, well, who knows? Maybe. Perhaps. I don't think so. I think it's plenty obvious. This is what God wants. God wants you to be saved. He has done everything in His power to make that clear to you. God wants you to be saved. If you're not saved, it isn't because God doesn't want it. It's because you don't want it.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, you may not want to put it in those terms.
Amen.
But that's the truth. And that's what you tell God. I don't want what you
Amen.
Want.
Yep.
I don't like what you like. I don't love what you love. I don't care for what you care about.
Right.
Because God would have you to be saved. Now, if you're already saved, God still wants the same thing. God wants people to be saved. You know, there's too many people that are saved that don't care what God wants.
All right, amen.
They just don't care what God wants. They're too absorbed with what they want.
Yeah. Amen.
And they are very absorbed. Every day they get up thinking, how is this going to serve me? How is this going to help me? How does this work into my plans? How does this come together for my ambitions? And God's saying, I have plans. I have ambitions. I have a will. I will that all men be saved. Does no one care about what I want? We think the whole world ought to care about what we want. We're aghast and taken aback when we find out that somebody who knows us doesn't care what we want. Shocking to us. And yet many Christians live their whole life without caring not one moment about what God wants.
Amen.
And what He wants is so simple. Think about just how selfless this desire is. Of all the things for God to want, if we were to just ponder and say, what would I want if I were God? The list would be long and very egocentric. And then you say, Lord, what do you want? And He says, I want all men to be saved.
Amen. That's right.
How can we possibly be stone-hearted when we ponder on these things?
Amen.
How can we be indifferent?
Amen.
I think back to David. And they're holed up in a little bunker, and they've been there for a while, and his mighty men hear David just mutter under his voice, "Oh, I wish I could get a cup of water from that well." And they break through the bloody battlefield. They risk life and limb. And they draw out a glass of water. And they run back and they give it to David. If you ask them, why would you do that? They said, finally, David expressed a want. Been with him all these years. And all he's done is serve. And now he says he wants something. We don't care if it's a glass of water or anything else. The opportunity to give David something he wants. Think about how much affliction you put yourself through trying to figure out what your wife wants for her birthday. I wish my wife would just tell me, and she learned a long time ago, she just says, I'll take $100. There you go. I don't have to go shopping. I don't know if any of you noticed from my sense of style, but I buy my clothes from Amazon. They ship it to me. I buy them by the pound. We sit around as Christians and we should ask ourselves, what does God want? And if God were to say, I want something, well, shouldn't we be as those men?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Be willing to do anything it took? If we had the opportunity to give Him something He wanted? A God who could not possibly, in human comprehension, want anything, could say, I want something. You know, come to think of it, there's something you can do for me. There's something I want. I want all men to be saved. Do you want all men to be saved? Are you interested in that? Do you hear God saying that? Oh, I would that all men be saved. Does it move you the way it moved those three men when David uttered his longing? When you come to this mission conference and sit here night after night, and through all the sermons, you hear God's voice telling you, I want all men to be saved. I want you to take some of your money and make that happen.
Amen.
I want you to take some of your time and make that happen.
Amen.
I want you to take some of your brethren that you love and send them out and make that happen.
Amen.
That's what I want. I want all men to be saved. I know we all have very busy lives. We all have big plans, big hopes, and big dreams, and we all have big wants. But God has a big want too. And you and I have to decide what we want more.
Amen.
Because God wants all men to be saved.
That's right.